We have been on a 6-year, 2-month, and I think it was 5-day journey. God was with us every step of the way. And in just a moment, Walter will share some amazing parts of that story that I'm sure you don't know, but will shortly. I wanted to read a scripture beforehand. Particularly with the Old Testament family, God took them at certain times and at certain occasions, and he said, "It's time for you to rededicate yourself to me." Moses challenged them as he stood for the last moments on the plain before God took him to glory. And he told them how they were to dedicate themselves again to the Lord in the promised land. Joshua obeyed Moses and shortly into their conquest took time out for them to renew their covenant. And you can read about that in Joshua chapter 8. And then as his life and his tenure was coming to conclusion, as the land was taken and solidified, Joshua again called the people together. Hear these words from Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 11. He's recounting the history and he says, "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I, the Lord, gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do with your own sword and bow. I gave you a land on which you did not toil, cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from their vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord God himself who brought us and our forefathers out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us our entire journey along among the nations and through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." We're gathered today and we're having a celebration today because we believe God has gone before us in this 6-year journey, and I won't steal Walter's thunder. But it is rightful on this day when we recognize that God has brought us into a new denominational land that we again, as we have before 8 years ago in 2008, and I don't know how many other times before, that we again stand up and say, we are for the Lord. And there will be a time in the service for us to do that. We will do that partly inside. Then we're going to go out on the island. And you'll learn the significance of that, and we'll conclude it out there. Then we're going to take a church picture, and then let the afternoon parties begin. To those who serve in the church and are serving and getting ready for the party, do not miss the dedication outside or the picture for the sake of a roll or a cup of coffee or some other serving thing. There are a lot of hands that can help at that point, but we want that picture. So please join us outside. Walter Baker, for many of you, needs little introduction. There are people in this life who we accord honor to because of their title. There are other people that have grown in stature and honor among others because of the way they lived and have served and the things they have done. And Walter is really in that latter category. And it's Walter's guiding hand that has helped us in our honorable and faithful and gracious departure from one denomination and entrance into another. And it's also because of Walter that a number of other churches in our former presbytery have gained exit as well. Now, Walter does a lot more than that, and I don't want to embarrass my brother, but I do want to honor him for his faithful service in so many ways. So as he comes forward, I think it's appropriate to give him a round of applause. That's okay. Let's pray for our brother. God, thank you for Walter and a servant's heart, an encyclopedic mind that minds the scriptures as well as things of this world. Thank you for his immediate family and extended family whom he has served with love and care. And thank you for the way he has served us. And Lord, I pray that his words this morning would breathe life into us as we see some of the ways you have worked beneath the surface to lead us to this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And he'll have the lavalier. We want to get it recorded.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bill. I didn't hear a word of it. And good morning to all of you. To all of you, good morning. So how many times have we heard the words over a long period of time that we are waiting on God's timing? And we did wait, and it seemed like a long time, and people will ask me, how long has it been? And Pastor Bill stated a number of years, but I like to say it's been 6 Super Bowls and 6 World Series that have taken place by the time we started and the time we concluded. Start to the finish of dismissal. Now, did anyone besides me wonder what, if anything, is God doing in the silence when nothing was happening? So I'm here today because I want to be a witness and to share the things that I believe God was doing while we waited. See, God's plan, and the reason it took so much time, that it was bigger than just PCOG. He used PCOG to accomplish his purpose, and many others that I want to introduce to you today. And he did do that to achieve what I call a divine and a sovereign purpose, his will for his churches, his church, PCOG. Everything I say today is intended to glorify God alone and to be an expression of thanksgiving Thanksgiving that we can have a day of rededication. Thanksgiving comes first, rededication and celebration, and the joy that comes from that follows. I want to make reference to a part of Scripture to put all of this into a context, and it comes from Mark 4. Now, Jesus told a parable. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a person. Scripture says a man. But men and women were involved in all of this. Who cast seeds upon the soil. See, you prepare the soil before you can plant and cast the seed. So PCOG, at this point in this parable, is the one who is preparing the soil and casting the seed with God's help. So the seed is cast, and what happens is that the person goes to bed at night and gets up by day. So here we see this waiting period. We're in a waiting mode. And the Scriptures don't just say, went to bed one night and got up the next day. It sort of implies a period, an unstated period of time. And that's what we did. We were in what I call a waiting mode for quite a long period of time. But what happens is the seed sprouts. It grows. How? See, Jesus asked that question and made that statement. You planted the seeds, they sprouted and grew. How did that happen? Jesus said to the person who was doing the planting, the person doesn't know, no idea. The soil produced the crops all by itself. See, that's God's way of saying he created the soil. He's the one that's doing the work. Trust me. Then that trust turns into the evidence that the crop is produced and the harvest occurs. So my comments will kind of fit into that pattern. There's a time to plant, which we did. There's a time to wait. And there's a time to harvest. And I want to pick a time several years back as our starting point. There are 750 people gathered in a very large assembly room. It's called the General Assembly Meeting of our denomination. One lone commissioner had the courage to stand up and say, I want to propose a resolution. And the resolution is that we as a denomination express to the presbyteries that it is our will that the presbyteries provide a process for the gracious and pastoral dismissal of churches from the denomination. And it passed in a substantial majority. You see, I call that sort of a but for God moment. How did that happen? What went through that person's mind that caused him or her, I don't know which, to stand up and make that resolution? But it started a process. In a very short period of time, as we became aware of what happened, PCOG sent a message to the presbytery, said, would you please prepare a process for us to follow that would lead to dismissal? In a very short period of time, an email came back from the executive presbyter and said, I've been waiting for someone to ask for that. Well, you've been asked for it in a very short period of time. It came into being, and so it set the stage. The soil was ready for PCOG to begin to plant the seeds for dismissal. We had to build unity to make sure that we were really on the same page, that it was dismissal that we sought. And so we did a lot of things, but I just want to remind you of two things that we did. We prepared what's called a denominational issues document that expressed our rationale. It's the reasons we wanted to seek dismissal, and it was around the statements in that document, which came from Scripture, that we were able to come together and talk about why it is that we want to be dismissed. But perhaps the most important thing is something called a road to decision, an 8-week prayer journal for PCOG. How many of you remember that we had an week prayer time. Well, these are the journals that were written, and they were written by 16 members of the congregation. Many of you sitting out here were the authors for this prayer journal. As soon as that 8-week period culminated, we had a meeting to vote on whether or not we wanted to go into this process. Are we together? Are we united? So we had what we call the town meeting, and the members were all here, and those who worship with us who are not members. And do you know how many people were here to vote? There were 101 people here to vote on that proposition. Do we want to authorize the session to enter into the dismissal process? 98 people out of 101 said yes. Folks, in recent times, how many votes can be taken that have that kind of a majority? It seems like most votes today are 45, 55, or 49, 51, or something like that. But that demonstrated that we were at least on the same page in terms of the reasons and the rationale for seeking dismissal. How could that happen? So we said to the presbytery the very next day, we want to enter into the process. We want to start in stage two. One, two, three stages in the process. We want to start on stage two because you know us. We don't have to explain very much about us because we have been watchmen, we call ourselves, over the acts of our presbytery, of our denomination for a long period of time. If you were to look at our website, you'll find a document on there that is dated 1992. I mean, that's nearly 25 years of expressing ourselves and the differences that we were having with what was happening in the denomination. So, a team was appointed to take us through this stage two. And at some point, toward the end of the meetings with the presbytery team, we had a town meeting right here. The presbytery team sat over there. And the purpose was to let the presbytery team hear the voice of the congregation. Are we united in our effort to want to be dismissed? One of the main voices of influence in that group, who is an ordained pastor, but he's also his vocation is a counselor, he stood up and said to the people, a question that a counselor would ask, what attracted you to come to PCOG? There were 91 people at that meeting. 38 stood up and told their story as to why they were here at PCOG. Now that 38 represented more than just 38, because a man or a woman might be speaking for an entire family. Unity, once again, just expressing the rationale. Unrehearsed, just spontaneous. Well, it was not long after that our team from the presbytery made a report to the presbytery. And oh, by the way, I had forgotten to say that one of the first things that the team asked us when we met was, have you prayed? We gave them copies of the prayer guide, and we moved on to another topic. So the presbytery said, it's unlikely that PCOG will willingly continue to serve together with the PSNE in our denomination. And so we recommend going to step three, which is negotiate the terms of dismissal. This was really on a fast track. 7 months to get to that point. Why? Why, God, did we do this so quickly? But in the meanwhile, we were going to experience another 5 Super Bowls before we could come to an end. Why? I believe that God knew some work needed to be done on the hearts and minds of a lot of people. I believe that God knew that there was a weed seed that lay where Satan was lying in the wait. to do his thing. So spiritual warfare was ahead. And I call that war mammon battles grace. Mammon, money, battles grace. Grace is something that you can't pay for. It's free. It's a gift. So pay, get something, not for free, but in a grace-filled pastoral way. So we're really coming to more of the but for God time, because it's during this period of time that a lot of people, other people, began to come into the picture. And I want to introduce groups that were involved in this process. I'll name some names later. But the group, the first group, was God. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have something called an Old Saybrook group, five or six or so churches, representing some churches that for years have met in Old Saybrook, sort of a central meeting place of churches and pastors that kind of have a like mind, the way in which Scripture impacts their lives and their Lord understanding of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Pastor Bill attends those sessions. I attend those sessions, but they go back all the way to Shirley Praise Day. So you can tell that that group has developed a fellowship for a long period of time. Presbyterian Promise. It's a group, an advocacy group in the presbytery that, well, if PCOG is for something, they're against it, and vice versa. They represent and have access and influence to the voice of about 75 to maybe 80% of the congregation. We wanted to make friends with them, because we work. Particularly, I was a stumbling block to all of that because of some things. And so we wanted to say, we breathe the same air. We may not agree on a lot of things about how Scripture impacts our lives, but let's be friends. Tear down the barriers of animosity that had somehow developed over time. Then we had a negotiating team that we were going to receive from the presbytery. And the negotiating team that came to us was the same team that met with us in the second phase. We thought, oh, that's terrific. We were really good friends, we thought. Well, we were good friends, until we had to talk about business. So they became the negotiating team. And then we had the presbytery, the governing body of the presbytery. Now, those are entities that come into the picture that you don't know anything about, that had an influence on this process. And it's that, but for God, the things that happened through those people. I want to try to tell you about some of those things. So, what happened is that when we first began to meet with our negotiating team in this warfare, they took the first shot. They said, we have a deal for you. Here are the terms of dismissal. We will dissolve you as a church. We will rent the church to you if you want to continue to occupy it. And we'll give you an option that you can buy it from us at fair market value whenever you choose. You know, that's like saying, give us $8 million and you can... That's no, you know, it's nothing graceful on that. That's a market-based proposition. It didn't take long. That meeting was a short meeting. We didn't walk out. We felt we had to be kind and polite. And so we said no thank you to that. And we said, we thought, are we in the right meeting? We thought that the process was a gracious dismissal process and not a punitive one. I don't remember if we said that or not or thought that, but very short meeting. And so we continued to have subsequent meetings, getting nowhere, but it was the summer of the year 2012. It came to PCOG that there's a fatal flaw in our process. the way it is set up that every negotiating team can do what is right in their own eyes. The luck of the draw. So we say we need some kind of something that will be an objective criteria by which grace can be expressed in negotiating terms of dismissal. PCOG devised a formula to measure how the price of dismissal for property would be determined. What happened is that PCOG didn't want to be seen as the author of that alone, so we enlisted ask churches from our Old Saybrook group if they would join us and be advocates of that, what's called a guideline formula for dismissal. Two of those churches couldn't do it because of conflicts and things. The other two of the other churches did sign that agreement with us. One of the church's name was Faith. The other church's name was Christ. So we had Faith in Christ supporting us in the formula in our letter that we were sending to the presbytery saying, this isn't working, and we're proposing an alternative way of doing things. We met with a team from the presbytery, a screening team. Are these people crazy? And so they wanted to know whether we were crazy or not, or whether we were doing something that made sense. There was a person at that meeting. His name is Steve Thayer, a member of our Old Saybrook group. He was a leader, one of the leaders of the governing body at that time. You see, Steve had told us that he felt called to do a second term as a chair of the governing body of the presbytery, but he didn't really understand why. Well, I can tell you one of the reasons why, because he was influential. His voice is very influential in talking to the people in the presbytery and kind of bringing them along to the things that he thought ought to be done. So what happened from that meeting is that we were given permission to go to the full governing body of the presbytery and make a 30-minute presentation. So Christ and Faith and PCOG attended that meeting and made a presentation. This is a document that we presented. Isn't that an awful color? I can't imagine anyone accepting something that looked like that. But they did. And what they did was to appoint a task force to look at the formula that we were presenting. Now, that task force, by the way, because of that task appointment of that task force, the talks that we were having with our negotiating team with the presbytery were suspended. They said, you've gone over our heads. We said, oh? And so they were suspended pending an outcome of this report. It took a long time for this team to work through the formula, and they did some tweaking on it. Now, God was at work again in the appointment of this task force. He appointed a pastor named Bill Maxwell from the Newport Presbyterian Church, a member of our Old Saybrook group. He appointed a person who was the co-chair of Presbyterian Promise, the person that we had been meeting with for quite a period of time to try to break down the barriers that had been built up over time. Pastor Maxwell told me that where that group of four on that task force wanted to start was just terrible. He said, you don't want to know what they want to do. Well, almost a year went by, one Super Bowl, and toward the fall of the meetings of that task force, Pastor Maxwell wrote a letter. It's a 2-page letter. He gave me a copy of it after the meeting was over because their meetings were confidential and he couldn't give me too many details. He wrote a letter that changed the hearts and the minds of that task force. He spoke and read God's word into their heart. And it had to be the Holy Spirit present in those meetings for them to suddenly turn around, do a 180 based on this letter, based on his pastoral presentation to them. They approved the guideline formula. It took a little while for that to be accepted as being a guideline formula because we were meeting with a presbytery that still had some weeds that needed to be extracted. I just want to mention one other group of people now that are coming into this picture that are very important. See, one of them is a pastor that was here at our meeting when we voted for dismissal, Pastor Webster, John Webster. He had become the presbyter of the Discerning the Way process. The other person who filled that position was suddenly called out of that position, and he came into that position. Another pastor, David Van Dyke from Stanford, a neighbor nearby, had become a leader of the presbytery. And as it turned out, he was going to play an important role, which I'll tell you in just a minute. So the guideline formula is done. We're ready to resume negotiations with our implementation team from the presbytery. And so he said, let's resume negotiations. They said, okay, if you agree to accept dissolution, rent the church, and you can have an option to buy it at fair market value. See, we were back with them where we started. And they said, if you don't agree with that, or something equivalent to that, none of us want to serve anymore. Thank you, Lord, that we had gotten rid of a group that somehow they just didn't really quite get the pastoral part of grace in the dismissal process. We asked the presbytery to form a new negotiating team. They did. Steve Theragin, John Webster, and Pastor David Van Dyke. You can't name three more influential people in the presbytery than those three. It's like if they're for it, they'll convince everybody else to also be for it. I mean, it was just an incredible thing that would happen. How did that happen? We resumed negotiations. We had a meeting in New Haven. I'll tell you how six Super Bowls were condensed into 15 minutes. We exchanged greetings. Pastor Bill was there. Hobie and I were there. You know, how are you doing? You do 3 or 4 minutes of how are yous, more than that. Then John Webster says, where do you want to begin? So I made a statement about grace. You own the property, and we come, I didn't say we come as beggars, but you own the property, and we don't deserve anything because you own the property. We only deserve what you're willing to give to us. We also said that grace is a bilateral two-way street, and that we also give something back to you, even though we didn't want to. So he said, well, where do you start? So we said, the guideline formula. John Webster said, well, what's that mean? $120,000 on the low end, $180,000 on the higher end. John says, oh, that sounds doable. Now, I looked over at Pastor Bill at that point. He was on the floor. He couldn't believe it. Hobie was resuscitating him with CPR. He suffered no brain damage that I've been able to identify. And so John said, well, what about the higher end of that range? We said, okay, we'll trade you dollars for time. You give us 16 and two-thirds years to pay it off and no interest. You see, pastors don't always know how to do present value calculations. So if you do that, you come almost back to the lower end of our range. And we said, okay. He said, okay. He said, I like that. I couldn't figure out why. Pastor David Van Dyke said, I dabble in real estate a little bit. Let's make it $200,000. It's a more marketable number with the people that we have to talk to. We said, okay. So in about 15 minutes, six Super Bowls had been sort of settled. And Pastor David Van Dyke said, grace. Today, grace has been restored through the process. It was a palpable moment. I mean, I felt like I could reach out and touch the invisible, the Holy Spirit. It was amazing grace. So I just want to, and so you know the events that have transferred after that. I want to kind of summarize some of the things of the harvest that God brought about. PCOG's vote on three occasions was near unanimous to enter whether we were united in entering into the process, authority to enter into the process, and the vote for dismissal. Near unanimous. Heart. Remember when we prayed in the chapel, we prayed for the hearts to be changed at the presbytery? They have been changed. The hearts of the presbytery are like night and day in our relationship with them. You can ask Pastor Bill. I don't know if he'll agree with me or not. We haven't had a conversation about this. But it's truly remarkable. How does that happen? Two pastors who always opposed substantial opposition to how you settle property values were never at any of the meetings. They left the church. They were still in New Haven, but they had taken up positions in academia. They'd never attended the meetings. A commissioner from a nearby church was highly vocal in opposing property settlements, was never at any of our meetings. The Springfield, Christ Church, Springfield was dismissed. Only 14 no votes. I was a teller. I counted those votes. 14 no votes in a presbytery that had a hard heart not too many months ago. PCOG was the second church to be dismissed. There were only 8 votes in a written ballot opposing our dismissal. The Enfield Church, Steve Thayer's church, is now been dismissed. It wasn't even a written ballot anymore. It was a unanimous voice vote for them to be dismissed. Newport Church, Bill Maxwell's church, is in the pipeline for dismissal. How do those things happen? Of great significance, during this time, God was doing a new thing. He was birthing a new denomination called ECO. See, when we started this process, ECO didn't even exist. So, how did that happen? One of the team members that refused to resume discussions with us told me at the last presbytery meeting, and she had become the team leader for the dismissal of the infield team. She said, I asked her, how did you go through the process so quickly? She said, I learned it from my experience at PCOG. See how God's using people in other ways? At the last preparatory meeting, the commissioners from the Newport Church said to us, the time that it took for you to be dismissed was very helpful to us. I can't tell you all the details of all of that. But the point is that there are a lot of people, a lot of how did that happen events taking place, and there are probably more that have taken too much time to tell. But the point is that this, all that I've said is for the glory is for God alone. The glory is for God, but the joy is for the people of God, and that's you, that's our congregation. That's our dismissal team. There were six of us on that team. There were many beyond PCOG that God used in this dismissal process. And so it's because of all of this that with thanksgiving in our hearts that we can have a rededication celebration. As the scriptures will say, things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Baker.
Thank you, Brother Bill.
It's been a privilege to serve alongside of you. Three other churches have been dismissed because of that formula. A new denomination has been birthed, one that we fit so much better with than the options beforehand. And I know that as individuals, many of us go through periods of waiting. You think a deal is done and it's not. You're looking for a job and it takes forever. Hold on to Jesus, because He's at work under the soil, letting the roots grow strong so that what finally flowers is of God. I know waiting can be interminable. But hold faith into God and watch what He does.